Hello, welcome to the Pandemic Pastoral Podcast, your podcast of choice to discuss all matters of the mind, soul, and heart. I am Alex, your host, and I'm joined by Rob. Now, I'm a photographer, so I spend a lot of time observing people, which is why I find all these matters so interesting. Rob is a minister at Andover Baptist Church, as well as having a pink belt in karate. Is that correct, Rob?
No, actually, Alex, it's not correct. I don't practice karate at all. I do taekwondo, and my belt isn't pink. It's actually currently red with a black stripe, if that helps. But
Fancy.
Fancy belt.
Wait, so are you saying that there isn't actually a pink belt at all in any of the martial arts?
Well, funnily enough, there is a pink belt in karate in some schools.
Ooh.
But I think those schools are quite unique. There's not a lot of them.
Awesome. So every week we open up about issues which everyone struggles with at one point or another. But I think specifically because we are going through this pandemic lockdown, some issues I think are more relevant now than ever. And hopefully with a bit of experience, some insight, and I think definitely some humor from us, we can help you to realize that none of us are alone in any of this. Now, there are many topics to discuss, but if there is something you'd like to say, please email us at 3P. That's right. It's just two little letters, 3P, at andoverbaptist.org.uk. And we can try and talk about it here on the Pandemic Pastoral Podcast. Now, this week, we are discussing coping with the frustration of living under lockdown. Now, who can't relate to that? We're going to look at what the frustration looks like, what triggers it, what that experience is, and of course, right at the end, what can be done about it. So, Rob, what's been the most frustrating thing for you about lockdown?
Oh, that's such a hard question, Alex. What is the most frustrating thing about lockdown? I don't know. There's quite a list of things that can be frustrating. I guess it's just not being able to do what you want when you want to, particularly in terms of going out and doing things that, you know, you really enjoy doing. So for me, actually, yeah, I think I do know what the most frustrating is for me. For me personally, going back to my martial arts, I can't train at our dojang anymore. So yeah, that's been pretty frustrating. I was meant to be doing my black belt sort of May, June time this year. And obviously with lockdown, et cetera, that's not going to be possible anymore, which is fine. I'm okay with that. But it's those kind of, you know, regular training sessions in an environment that's purpose-built for that. That's something I really miss because, as you can imagine, trying to do martial arts in your kitchen, not the greatest environment. You don't really want to be slipping or falling or raising your leg too high or any of that stuff. And, it's quite hot. So that's been pretty frustrating. Yeah, and just not being able to hang out with friends. You know, it's summertime, it's nice weather outside, so you want to get together with friends, have a barbecue, just come chill out. So that's pretty tough. What about you? What's frustrating the life out of you?
For me, the lockdown has been particularly frustrating because we, with our kids, we usually get to see a lot of family. It's really good for them. And it's been really frustrating not being able to take them out and take them to go see family and take them places, because kids just absolutely love the freedom of running around, and they love the familiarity of people they know, and the lack of that, I think, makes them very frustrated, and that in turn obviously makes us very frustrated. But thinking about what causes that frustration, I think you touched on it when you said that lack of control, not being able to do what you want and when you want to do it. And I think it's pulled out in a lot of people just how much of a kid even grown-ups can be, where all of a sudden they're told they can't do something and they don't react as you would expect an adult to, which is to, you know, be mature the way you were raised to be and all that. Instead, a lot of us kind of, you react a bit like a kid where you say, no, I want to do this now. And you can't tell me what to do, because I've seen some fantastic literal demonstrations where people have protested the lockdown, and they've complained about the sort of position we're in. And it's very wildly from sort of country to country. But it did remind me of the inherent stubbornness that we as a species, as a people have. Many, many moons ago, I used to work at the Imperial War Museum in London. I was fascinated by talking to the historians there when talking about what life was like during the Second World War in London, especially about the Blitz, they shared stories of during the air raids, there was this need to have these wardens, these ARP wardens who would walk through at night. And their sole job is to make sure that people had their lights turned off. And if they had blackout blinds, that they were pulled across. And you'd think it's super obvious. Don't have your lights on. Because if you do, you're going to get bombed. And when you get bombed, we all get bombed. And yet, even in that, there are people who tired of that. They wanted that night at the pub. They want, you know, they reacted with that stubbornness that's inherent in us, even in a situation that critical. They still wanted to kind of express themselves and show that they weren't being put in this position. You know, another example is seatbelts even. You'd think seatbelts were so obvious, and yet when seatbelts were added to cars, especially the modern ones, it did not go down well. Countries had to introduce very strict ticketing systems in the beginning to make sure that people kept their seatbelts on, because someone was telling you to do something. And even if it makes complete sense, even if it's the best thing ever, just someone telling you to do something. And I've seen that in the social distancing, in wearing masks, all those issues have become what should be basic run-of-the-mill health decisions, like wearing a seatbelt, have suddenly become acts of individual rebellion or political statements that you don't agree with something. And that, I think, is a symptom of the frustration that people are feeling.
I think you make an excellent point, Alex. One of the great social media posts that I saw recently was talking about apocalyptic movies, particularly sort of the zombie genre, where zombies suddenly kind of take over the earth because of some big pandemic or something like that. And it was saying, it turns out that the one thing that's been missing from zombie movies for years is somebody standing there with a placard demanding their right to be eaten by zombies. And I thought, that's just such a true kind of caricature of modern society. And it got me thinking a lot. I wonder if so much of the beauty of our freedom and our democracy in the West, the things that we hold sacrosanct and think are incredibly important, I wonder if we've missed the shadow side of that, whereby it becomes all about the individual's right to choice and not about what's best for the community. And I think, you know, it comes down to our sense of identity a lot of the time, and that, you know, in our culture here, there's often a tendency for us to become the center of the world, whereas in other cultures, your identity is very much formed by your role in that society, your role in the community, the way that you can be a part of something bigger than yourself. I suppose the ideal that we're all striving for is what's best for the community, not what's necessarily best for ourselves. And I think that fits better with a biblical narrative, really, to be honest, in terms of self-sacrifice. You know, you look at the call of Jesus to live for the sake of others, for the good of others, to lay down your life for the sake of others. And, you know, it's not just a call. He actually did exactly that. That was his whole way of life, was to pour himself out for other people. He began to help those who, you know, are open to being a part of something bigger than themselves, a community kind of mindset. And he came to pour out his life for them. And so, you know, it's strange times we're living in, Alex. You know, people get frustrated because they're confined to their houses during this horrible pandemic. And I know that's frustrating. I mean, I'm as frustrated as the next person. We're all frustrated. But it's the reasoning behind why, and just kind of really processing what it means for you to stay at home. It means you're not passing on a virus that could potentially kill someone. It means you're not endangering other people that live next door to you or people that you work with. It means that we're stopping the spread of this pandemic, which is unprecedented in our modern history and for which we still have no cure. And the cure could be quite far away, really, because it takes time to fight viruses. It takes time to come up with immunization programs for things that we've never seen before. And I just think to myself, again, there's like a nobility in just doing the thing that we find frustrating, which actually, by global standards, is not really that hard. We're asking people to stay home, play on their Xbox or watch some TV, hang out with their family. You know, most people would kill for that kind of time during their regular mad commuting working weeks. They think, I never see my family. Well, now you see a lot of your family. And I know that there's a cost to that. It can be difficult. It can be difficult for families. It can be difficult for marriages. It's, you know, you get snappy, you get frustrated, and it causes all kinds of tensions. But the truth is, we should really be appreciating this time, because we probably won't get it back again in the same form. You know, to be able to just really reflect on what's important to you going forward, and what you miss and what you could live without, and, you know, maybe just grow in terms of character during this process.
It's certainly a fantastic time to be proactive, to kind of expand your horizons and grow and learn and kind of nurture yourself, maybe develop yourself, all those types of things. But I think the frustration element just points to how many issues are playing a role in people people feeling frustrated, because they don't like to be told. That's absolutely true. But then at the same time, they are worried. You know, they're perhaps scared, and no one wants to admit that they're scared or that they're worried. And that'll feed into that as well. That desire to want to get on top of things, to get ahead of things, to get some control back so that you can help make it better. You know, people are worried that, will they get sick? You know, have they been sick? Because the testing process varies so wildly from country to country and region to region, that getting a simple test just to even see if you've officially had it, or whether you just had a bad cold or something. Will you lose your job? If you've lost your job, what are you going to do? This is all kind of happening inside people, and so that combination of being worried about these things, not being able to control it, and then having people tell you, listen, we don't know when it's going to end, so there's no solid outcome date to say, it's okay guys, you can hang in for another month, people can at least accept that. There's no end date, which is super frustrating, because then there's no target, there's no goal to work towards, and you're worried, and you're a little bit scared, and you're being told to kind of sit put. That is a real storm. And unfortunately, I do think some people have tapped into it as a way of making maybe sort of cheap political points. They kind of exploited that storm, that sense of frustration. Whereas in reality, with all the unknowns and all the uncertainty, we are in what amounts to sort of a natural disaster, really, in the sense of it's a natural phenomenon. And the best way to deal with it is together as a group. You know, if you watch the news, you've seen various very positive leaders try to be very positive, and they will get up there and say very positive things. And some people won't wear masks even to kind of demonstrate that they're not afraid, which I think would work. It works during war, and it works if there's been a terrorist attack, because, hey, we're continuing our lives as normal. We're not letting, you know, the terrorists win. Or, you know, during a war, you're going about your normal business to show that you're not being, you know, cowed by whoever the bad guys are. But in reality, that's not how a disease works. A disease doesn't care. A disease isn't going, oh, look, they're going about their normal lives. I guess I'll stop being infectious. No. So we are, as a group, we're all in this together. And I think it's been hard for a lot of people to maybe come to terms with that, come to terms with all the unknowns, come to terms with the fear and the uncertainty. So I can appreciate the anger. I can appreciate the lack of answers. I can appreciate how that's manifested. And the best chance we have of getting through this is the encouragement and support that we can give each other.
It's interesting that at a time like this, when everyone is really afraid, we sometimes forget the humanity of the people that are leading us as well, and how difficult the decision-making process is for them. And, you know, there's no question that, you know, governments all around the world have made some appallingly bad decisions, but they've never done this before. And it's complicated. You know, I just know, as a church leader, our whole world has been flipped upside down overnight. We've had to learn new skills. We've had to adjust processes. We've had to drop all kinds of normal processes that we would ordinarily do, that I suppose are constitutional for lots of charities, but are just not possible right now. You know, if you have a charity, you're supposed to have a meeting of all the kind of stakeholders quite regularly. Well, obviously we can't do that. And the Charity Commission is being very understanding about that kind of scenario. But there's all kinds of logistics that change in a crisis. And they have to change. There's no other way around it. And sometimes we don't quite know what we're doing. We're just muddling through day by day. And when I put that in context of what the government has to deal with right now, I have some sympathy with them in the sense that they will make mistakes. They will absolutely make mistakes in this process because they've never done anything like this before. They've never had to handle a scenario like this that is so incredibly complicated. And, you know, the best interests of one group of people are sometimes the worst thing for another group of people. And so it's incredibly complicated. And I just think while we should never lose our ability to hold our government to account and to protest things that matter and to ensure that we are never, I suppose, slaves to a system in which we have no say, I think we also have to think about how our political dialogue goes and how we treat people and how we talk to people who are in positions where they have to make tough decisions. I think one of the things that really stands out to me right now is when the lockdown started, there was an almost universal realization between different political parties that they had to work together. And that there was kind of a quieting of the normal shouting at each other and everything that they were doing wrong. That didn't really happen so much. And it seems to be creeping back in again. And I just find that so disappointing because, you know, A, we're not out of the crisis. B, like you say, it's a political cheap shot when actually we need to be working together right now. And C, I'd like to see a situation that we come out of this lockdown and actually we can talk respectfully about things that we disagree with. You know, we might disagree very passionately with policies or procedures that somebody's making, but there's a way about having a conversation with someone when we disagree with them that I think we need to learn from. There are bigger issues at stake sometimes than my preferences or the things that matter to me, but are maybe not universally as important as other things.
Oh, no, good point, Rob. I think that coming out of the pandemic, I think, gives many people, many organizations, a chance to rethink how they do things and maybe do things better afterwards. I think it's a real good reset button for so many things. So what can we do about that frustration? What can we do that would help us cope with the frustration that we are currently experience? I think we can both check out a few examples of what could help. I would certainly say, because we're living in a sort of new routine, really, the first thing would be to think about developing a new routine, something that you stick to, something that makes sense, because essentially we've gone from our old routine massively disrupted. And I think one of the first steps to feeling more comfortable with the lockdown and what could potentially be, there could be a second wave of the coronavirus, it could be, who knows. So we could be living with a variation of lockdown for quite a long time.
I think you're absolutely right, Alex. I think, again, that gives us just a little bit of control back, you know, control what you can and let go of the things that you can't. So, you know, just healthy routines are important in our lives, you know, getting enough sleep, eating the right foods. I mean, you know, during lockdown, there's every tendency when you're working from home or stuck at home to kind of eat more than perhaps you should, or eat the wrong kind of food because it's right there on the shelf. And let's face it, you know, there's a lot of people that comfort eat. I'm one of them. You know, there's no shaming here. I quite often enjoy a good bag of unhealthy crisps when I'm feeling stressed. I don't think a lot of people are stressed right now. But in the long term, that
only
really
one bag.
That
oh,
much.
My friend, I'm a double bagger at least.
A double bagger, good man. But it's, you know, it's recognizing that there's an importance to the routines of daily life and healthiness. You know, getting enough exercise is so important, and we might have to do that very differently. We can't go to the gym anymore or work out at the Dojang if you're me. But that doesn't mean you can't work out. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't be getting exercise. And actually, in terms of frustration, exercise is always such a great way of getting some of that pent-up frustration out. Those kind of routines are so, so important.
I think God has been good in allowing a pandemic, if that's the right way of putting it, for timing a pandemic during all the good weather. Had we been in lockdown from December to February, then, oh, I think there would have been way more bags of chips being crisps being consumed. So the good weather, I think, has been a blessing. Yeah. I agree with you about the exercise. I think it's so key. I think the popularity of YouTube channels like Joe Wicks, that handsome lion, is because we need that exercise and we need the motivation. It's very hard to motivate yourself. If somebody else can get you to do it and be with you, brilliant. In my family, we do Andy from CBeebies. This is only applicable if you have kids. You would know who these people are. But Andy from CBeebies does Andy's Wild Workouts. And we do that every morning. That has become a real key part of our routine with our kids. It's obviously not for adults, unless you like pretending to be a baboon, in which case it's the show for you.
I'm going to tune in right away.
Yeah, it is. It's for kids. But like Joe Wicks and lots of those types of things, I think you are completely correct. I think find something that you can do regularly and that you can do inside in case the weather's not great outside. And that kind of regularity will start bringing back that kind of control, which I think will help you to feel more comfortable about your life. The other thing, you touch on it a bit when you talk about your Taekwondo, but whatever your hobbies are, your interests, your passions, those types of things, they are worth continuing under lockdown, even if it's a bit weird to do exercises or Taekwondo, you know, maneuvers, you know, on Zoom. And if you don't have them, I guess now's a good time to learn something. Again, this is really only applicable to people who perhaps don't have children. I think if you've got children, if someone says to you, now's a good time to learn to play the cello. No, now is not a good time to learn to play the cello. Shut up. Stop telling me these things. Leave me alone. I want peace and quiet. But I've got a friend who started learning Spanish. He doesn't have children, I must emphasize. So he picked up a Duolingo, I think, course, and he's been learning Spanish. Why not? So whatever your hobbies and interests are, continue with them, build them into the routine. Mm. So I'm a photographer, and I don't have that much free time. But when I do, I like to watch YouTube tutorials. Mm. They're pretty simple. And they're always teaching me something new about my job, my craft. And lockdown has given me more time to do that. So that has also helped with the boredom, the frustration.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that being a martial artist has probably taught me is that life is about adding things to your toolkit. And some of them you'll never use, but they're handy to have in case one day you do need them. I think the same thing is true about life. I think we should always be learning. I think, you know, you might have a career that, you know, you've done a degree and you've had 10 years experience. That's great. You can always learn a new skill. And you're absolutely right. YouTube is a great place for that. There's tons of free tutorials on all kinds of things. I've learned tons during this lockdown. I've learned more about video editing programs that I thought I understood. And all of a sudden I've discovered this whole bunch of new features that make my job a lot easier. I've learned a lot about filming, which obviously was not something I was heavily involved in before, but is incredibly useful for you know, my future career in terms of the way church is going and our presence online and being accessible to people who can't necessarily attend your church on a Sunday or come to a physical service because they're shut in at home. These are all skills that I can now use to benefit people that maybe I could not help before. And I just want to encourage you, learn a skill that doesn't just benefit you, that you enjoy, but actually that you can use in multiple scenarios, multiple situations, because then you just become an even more valuable member of our community. And you never know what opportunities that will open up for you. You just never know.
I guess the last, maybe not the last thing, but would be during all this would be to talk, because being frustrated is often something that, you know, it happens inside you and it can build up and it can lead to anxiety and stress, and start talking about it. If you don't have someone in the house you can talk to, then definitely Zoom a friend, phone a friend, WhatsApp a friend, and get in contact with someone who you can start talking to, because sharing the frustration, I think, will really help, and everyone's in the same boat. And so everyone will understand the frustration. They'll have their own frustrations that they would want to share. And unburden, and I think that would be, I think that's such a helpful way of lifting the kind of frustration that's building up inside of you. Praying as well, I think, obviously asking God to lift the frustration, asking Him to kind of, you know, lift that burden from your shoulders. I mean, He loves us, and He loves nothing more than being with us and walking that road with us. So definitely pray with other people if you can. I would encourage that. Support them both privately, but also when you're with them. Pray about the frustration. Pray that they can be lifted and they can feel lighter and feel less anxious. I think a lot of that also ties into what kind of person you are. And sometimes it's difficult to maybe know that, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. And it's more complicated than that. We can all sometimes be introvert and extrovert, you know. But I think when you know that about yourself, then you know what is the best way for you. So if you are particularly extrovert, then you may need to make more of an effort to make those phone calls and those conversations, because you know you need to talk to people, and you know you need that sort of energy exchange that mm-hmm. happens from seeing other people. And if you're an introvert, then you also need to know when to pull back and have that alone time so that your batteries recharge and all that. And so I would encourage anyone listening to this to sort of, you know, be honest with yourself about what kind of person you are, and then identifying what you can do then as a way of lifting that frustration, that maybe the quiet time is more important, or maybe the talking is more important, and focusing on that.
I think, you know, you bring up a really good point that we're individuals, but we're also human beings. And so, you know, the problems that you face are probably universally kind of out there, in terms of the fact that you're a human being, you have a body, you have a mind, and you have a soul, and each of those three things needs to be taken care of and kind of fed regularly so that you stay healthy. And, you know, my encouragement to you is as a human being, whatever that looks like for you, do that. You know, take care of your body, make sure that you're talking to help your mind kind of process things. And you know, like Alex says, pray. You know, you might not be a praying person. Now's a really great time to be able to kind of feed your soul, maybe for the first time in years. You know, God can hear you when you pray, even in your head. You know, even if you talk to God in your head, we believe very firmly that that's a very valid prayer, because God knows the thoughts that we think. He's bigger than that. And, you know, don't ask me to explain how that works. I'm not God. But I do know that when I pray, he answers me. And so often that's in a situation where I'm very privately just thinking some thoughts to myself and say, oh, God, help me through this. And all of a sudden, you know, my circumstances may change. Some people say more coincidences happen when you pray. So, yeah, you just give it a go. And, you know, it's also a great time to attend church online. It really is. You know, maybe you don't consider yourself to be a church person, and, you know, you kind of, maybe you've had a bad experience of church, and, you know, I get all of that. I talk to people in lots of different situations for whom, you know, spirituality is kind of like something they've not really thought about for a long time, or maybe don't really want to think about. But I think right now you need to work out what feeds your soul. And it's a great time to go online. You know, our own church is online every Sunday. You just go to YouTube, type in Andover Baptist Church, and it'll come up there. But it's not just on Sundays. During the week, we've got tons of content. And, you know, the great thing is you can watch that on demand. You can watch that without ever feeling the pressure of having to go anywhere or be seen by anyone. And you can just figure out what's next for you. I think that's the most important thing. That's where it becomes really personal. You know, I'm not telling you what to do in terms of your spirituality. I'm just giving you options. I'm giving you suggestions. And if you would find it helpful to explore some of the nagging questions that maybe go on at a time like this, you know, what happens to us when we die? How does God allow stuff like this to happen? If those are kind of nagging questions, and maybe you just haven't thought about them for a long time, now's a really safe time to do that from the comfort of your home, where you can just watch a service and see what you think of it, or you can interact with you know, some of the daily devotions that we're putting out, just to give you a thought to think about for that day, and maybe we could bring you some comfort, even if you don't believe the same things as us. Maybe just that universal kind of sense of you're not alone in your spirituality either. Maybe that helps. Maybe it helps to hear the questions other people have. But just feed your body, feed your mind, and feed your soul.
Amen, brother. Thank you, Rob, again, for co-hosting this with me. And thank you once again for listening to the Pandemic Pastoral Podcast. We hope we've been good company, and we hope you'll join us again next week. As always, you know, subscribe to the podcast, keep it going, share it with people, because hopefully if it can lift your spirit, it can maybe lift someone else's. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have any questions or queries or comments, just email us at 3P. That's just the letter 3, and then the letter 3, the number P, and the letter 3. Man, my kids are going to learn weird things. So it's the number 3 and the letter P at andoverbaptist.org.uk. There are also other resources out there. And if you're really struggling at this time, you don't have to wait a whole week for our next podcast. There are lots of other ways of getting help. And if you or anyone you know is really struggling with your mental health, especially if there's anything dangerous involved, then please phone 999 immediately. They are there to help you. You can always phone the Samaritans as well. They are there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they are there to listen, and it's free. You can phone them at any time. Their number is 116-123. That's 116-123. We look forward to seeing you next week. And remember, you are not alone out there.